The Bible reading is the last section in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verses 11 to 18.
See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen.
Let's pray before we get into God's word. Father God, we pray that you would guide us now as we seek to understand the words that we've just heard read to us. We pray that your spirit would open our eyes, challenge our hearts, and apply this word to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sheep are incredibly helpless animals. But I know that's not news to any of you, particularly those of you who are currently feeding sheep at the moment because it's so dry. We all know that sheep need to rely on their shepherd or their farmer for food, for water, and to keep them safe from predators. A sheep might be able to survive on its own if it was in a lush meadow down by a stream in somewhere like England where it rains every second day. But of course, here in rural Australia, sheep are completely helpless. They can't survive on their own. They need their farmer to provide them with water. They need their farmer to give them fences, keep them in with fences, and keep them somewhere that is safe. And in moments like right now when it's dry, they need their farmer to provide them with food. And as uncomfortable as it may make us feel, because none of us like feeling helpless, the Bible calls us all sheep. Isaiah 53:6 says that we are all like sheep. We've all run away from our shepherd. We've all tried to live our lives our own way. And we've all tried to live without God. But Isaiah 53:6 goes on to say that the Lord laid on him, that's Jesus, the iniquity or sin of us all. In other words, until our great shepherd, until the great shepherd stepped in and provided us with what we need but could not get for ourselves, we were completely helpless. We couldn't do anything about our sin. We couldn't do anything about death. And we couldn't do anything to restore our relationship with God. And so God sent his son to do what we couldn't do because we were completely unable to make ourselves right with God. Well, you know what that means? That means that none of us, not one of us, have anything to boast about. We can't boast about holding anything over each other because our salvation from beginning to end was achieved by what God did for us. We were all hopeless and helpless until the great shepherd stepped in and provided us with everything we need. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God so that no one can boast." If you have faith in Jesus, the greatest treasure you have in this life and in the next was achieved for you by Jesus through his costly sacrificial death in our place. And so none of us have any right to consider ourselves better than anyone else. None of us belongs in the body of Christ more than anyone else. We were as helpless as sheep in a dry and dusty paddock with a completely dry dam. Until God, our great shepherd, stepped in and provided us with everything we need through the life, death, and resurrection of his Son. And so when we forget that, when we start to find our confidence in our responsibilities at church, or what other people think of us, or outward signs and symbols that were only ever meant to point us to the reality of what Jesus did for us, it should cause us to realize that we've forgotten how helpless we are and how much we need our Savior. Because no one who's been saved through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection has anything to boast about. He has done it all. A boasting can only ever be in the life-saving, hope-giving, wonderful news of what Jesus has done on our behalf. Now, it's been a little while, with all the guest preachers and the mission team coming, since we've been in the book of Galatians. So I'm going to take a few moments just to remind you about what the context of these verses is. The book of Galatians is a letter from the Apostle Paul to the believers at Galatia, warning them not to listen to those who are telling them that it's okay to trust in Jesus for your salvation as long as you get circumcised. These false teachers were teaching that circumcision was necessary in order to be accepted by God. And so throughout this letter to the Galatians, Paul has been showing the believers that there is no outward symbol of sign that makes anyone right with God. And the good news is that even though there's nothing that we can do for ourselves that will earn us points with God or make us acceptable to him, Jesus did it all for us when he willingly went to the cross in our place. So as Paul writes these final words to the church in Galatia, he takes one last opportunity to remind them that there is only one thing worth boasting in, and that is in what Jesus did for us on the cross. So there are two questions that Paul is answering in these verses. And the first is, what are we putting our confidence in? Is it in religion, our culture, or God's word? As Paul begins this section, he takes the time to mention that he's been writing in big letters. He wants the believers to know that he is writing these words with his own hands. He wants them to know that it is incredibly important to him and to the gospel that they understand these gospel truths, that they know that it is faith in Jesus and him alone that has the power to save. Those who have been trying to deceive the believers were telling them that they needed to be circumcised in order to be saved. These false teachers didn't seem to have any problem with people trusting in Jesus as sort of an add-on to their religion, but they had a big problem with anyone who was teaching that they weren't required to follow every rule in God's law, because that would put them at odds with the religion, tradition, and culture of that day. So these false teachers were willing to compromise on God's good news. They were willing to do whatever it took, twist it however they needed in order for it to be politically correct for their time. They were not willing to take up their cross and follow Jesus. They didn't want to be persecuted by the Jews for trusting in Jesus. They were far more concerned about what people thought of them than of what was right and good in God's eyes. Paul says in verse 13 that these false teachers weren't even following the law themselves. Their religion was just an attempt to look good on the outside. Their religion was all about appearances and had nothing to do with trusting in God. These days, quite sadly, it's becoming more and more common to hear people say things like, all religions are basically the same. I seem to think that that's a peaceful way of talking about religion and faith. But it's just another way of doing the same thing as these false teachers were doing, trying to please people rather than God. God's word doesn't teach a message of love without justice, or a message of forgiveness without a penalty being paid. God's word doesn't teach us how we can save ourselves. Instead, it shows us the only way that anyone can be saved, and that is through Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. The good news of Jesus is still just as offensive to our culture as it was to the people back then. No one wants to hear how sinful they are, or that they cannot save themselves. And there are lots and lots of people who do not want to hear that being a good and moral person is not enough to make you acceptable with God. And so those whose confidence is in God's word will find themselves at odds with our culture in lots of different ways. But at the end of the day, what would you rather have your confidence in? In religion, our culture, or God's word? That brings us to the second question that these verses raise. Who are we putting our confidence in? Is it in ourselves, or in what people think of us, or in Jesus? In verse 14, Paul says, "May I never boast except in the cross of Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." What Paul is saying is that he accepts his status as a sheep. He understands that he has done nothing or could ever do anything worthy of God. Nothing that he could ever do could make him acceptable to God. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking. This isn't someone who's served in the church for maybe 5 years or 10 years or 20 years or even 50 years without persecution or the fear of death. This is the same man who walked approximately 15,000 kilometers in order to share the good news of Jesus during his missionary journeys. This is the same man who was stoned, stone after stone being thrown at him, in incredibly brutal and violent situation. He was stoned so violently that the people thought he was dead, and so they dragged him out of the city. This is the same man who was jailed and who was ultimately killed because of his faith in Jesus. And this man was willing to go through all of these things in order to preserve the true message of the gospel. He was willing to do all those things rather than compromise on the wonderful good news. Because Paul knew that the good news of Jesus is the power of God to save everyone who believes. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, "If anyone thinks that he has a reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless." Paul had far more to boast than we will ever have when it comes to his outward works, his good works. But even though he had all of those incredible achievements that he had made. Paul then says in chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 7, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ." All those things that Paul could have boasted in, could have found his confidence in, could have held over all the other believers, Paul says they're rubbish, completely worthless. And he says the same way, but much shorter, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. "Neither circumcision or uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation." In other words, there's no outward sign or religious act that could ever make us right with God. In the old covenant, circumcision was a sign. Circumcision was given by God. It was a good and right sign in the Old Testament, a sign that someone belonged to God's people. But through Jesus, God has done what he promised all the way back in Ezekiel 36, 26, when God said, "I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." Or as 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." Being circumcised or not being circumcised doesn't make any difference to whether you're accepted by God. Being baptized as an infant, being confirmed as a teenager, being baptized as a believer, or participating in our communion every time we do it doesn't make you right with God, doesn't make you acceptable to him. Because whether we're accepted by God or not accepted by God is solely based on whether we are trusting in what Jesus did for us on the cross. And so if we're trusting in our outward service or in those religious signs and symbols, we're trusting in ourselves, or we're trusting in what other people think of us instead of Jesus. Because there's no outward sign or symbol that can make us acceptable with God. The only thing that matters is that our hearts have been changed through faith in what Jesus did for us on the cross. And so who are you going to put your confidence in? In yourselves? In what other people think of you? Or in Jesus? We are just like sheep. Even though none of us enjoys admitting it, I don't like admitting it. We all struggle with sin in our own way. There'll be different sins, but we all struggle with sin. And so we've all failed to live up to God's standard of good. None of us can do anything to make ourselves right with God. And so we have nothing to boast about except what Jesus did for us on the cross. It's because of the great shepherd's incredible love for us that even when we had gone astray, he brought us back to himself through the life, death, and resurrection of his son. If we have faith in Jesus, we have been saved by grace through faith, and we have nothing to boast in apart from the wonderful good news of what Jesus has done for us. He has made us into new creations in Christ. But because we are new creations, we will find ourselves at odds with the culture around us, because we will clash with their worldview, with their beliefs and traditions, as they seek to measure us by their standards rather than God's word. But today's passage is reminding us that if our faith is in Jesus, it doesn't matter what other people think of us or how well we fit into the culture. The only thing that matters is that we put our faith in the completed work of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we recognize that we are like sheep. We recognize that we need you. We recognize that we need our Savior. We acknowledge that we have all sinned, that even though we've sinned in different ways, we have all fallen short of your standard of good. And we recognize that our salvation has been achieved solely on the basis of what Jesus has done for us. Lord, we thank you that even though we are like sheep, we are your sheep, that you brought us to yourself. Thank you for the incredible mercy we've received through Christ, and we pray that you would help us to be that to be the one thing that we boast in, the wonderful grace and mercy we have received because of your love for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.